Mr. Middleton, may I present my brother, Mr. Thomas Doyle? Mr. Middleton has been kind enough to wait with me, Thomas, I say, pointedly. Tom's face pales. If he's feeling ashamed, then I'm glad for it. Simon smiles broadly. It makes his eyes dance.
Good to see you, Doyle, old boy. Master Middleton,
Thomas says, offering his hand.
How fare the Viscount and Lady Denby? My mother and father are well, thank you.
Simon Middleton is a Viscount's son. How could someone as kind and charming and titled as Mr. Middleton be on familiar terms with my disagreeable brother? You are acquainted with each other? I ask.
We were together at Eton,
Simon says. That would make Simon, the Honourable Simon Middleton, my brother's age, 19. Now that I'm past my shock, I see that Simon is also handsome, with brown hair and blue eyes.
I'd no idea you'd such a charming sister.
Nor did I, Tom says.
I take his arm, but only so that I can pinch the inside of it without being seen by Simon. When Tom gasps, I feel better and stop pinching.
I do hope she hasn't pestered you too much.
Not at all. She was under the impression that someone was following her. A man in a dark suit with a, what was it? A hideous scar upon his left cheek.
I feel very foolish about that now. A flush rises up Tom's pale neck.
Ah, yes, the famous Doyle imagination. She's likely to become a writer of mystery novels, our Gemma.
I am sorry to have bothered you, I say.
Not at all. It was the most exciting part of my day,
he says, with such a winning smile that I believe him.
And you were most helpful with this,
he adds, holding up the velvet box.
Our carriage is just outside. If you care to wait, I could offer you a ride.
We've our own carriage waiting,
Tom says smugly.
Of course.
It was a most generous offer, I say. Good day to you. Simon Middleton does the most extraordinary, daring thing. He takes my hand and gives it a courtly kiss.
I do hope we shall meet again over the holiday. You must come to dinner. I shall see to it. Master Doyle, carry on.
He gives Tom a grand tip of the hat, and Tom returns it as if they are two old friends play-acting together. Simon Middleton. I cannot wait to tell Anne and Felicity. Outside the station, the streets are alive with noise, horses, omnibuses, and people who've come into London for a day's shopping or entertainment. It is a mad, merry scene, and I'm happy to be part of the beating heart of the city. The moment the foggy air and clanging bells of the churches greet me, I feel sophisticated and mysterious. I could be anyone here, duchess or witch or conniving fortune hunter. Who is to say? After all, I've already had a most wonderful encounter with a Viscount's son. I'm feeling very optimistic. Yes, this will be a pleasant visit, with dances and gifts and perhaps even a dinner at the home of a handsome Viscount's son. Father loves Christmas. The Christmas spirit will make him merry, and he will not need the laudanum so much. Together, Anne, Felicity, and I shall find the temple and bind the magic, and it will all turn out right in the end. A man bumps me on his busy way without so much as an apology. But that is all right. I forgive you, busy man about town with the sharp elbows. Hail and farewell to you. For I, Gemma Doyle, am to have a splendid Christmas in London town. All shall be well. God rest us, merry gentlemen and gentlewomen. Tom's trying desperately to secure a hansom cab among the throng. But where is the carriage? I ask.
There is no carriage.
But you said...
Yes, well, I wasn't about to let on to Middleton and suffer that humiliation. We've a carriage at home, to be sure, but we've no driver. Old Potts left rather suddenly 2 days ago. I wanted to put in an advert, but Father says he's found someone.
Oh, I say!
With a bit of finagling, we find a cab and set off for the London home I've never seen.
I cannot believe you ran into Simon Middleton, of all people,
Tom says, as the cab pulls away from the station.
And now we are to have dinner with his family.
It hardly seems worth noting that the Honourable Simon Middleton invited me to dinner, not Tom. Is he really a Viscount's son, then?
Indeed. His father is a member of the House of Lords and a highly influential patron of the sciences. With his help, I could go far indeed. Pity they've no daughters to marry.
Pity? I was just thinking it was a mercy.
So, my own sister will not promote me? Speaking of which, weren't you supposed to find me a beautiful future wife with a small fortune? Have you had any success on that front?
Yes, I have warned them all.
And a Merry Christmas to you too,
Tom says, laughing.
I understand we'll be attending your friend Miss Worthington's Christmas ball. Perhaps I'll find a suitable, which is to say wealthy, wife among the ladies attending.
And perhaps they will all run screaming for the convent. How is Father? I ask at last, that question burning a hole inside me. Tom sighs.
We're making progress. I've locked away the laudanum bottle and given him one that I've diluted with water. He's getting less. I'm afraid it's made him quite disagreeable at times, plagued by horrible headaches, but I'm certain it's working.
He looks at me.
You're not to give him more, do you understand? He's clever and he'll press you for it.
He wouldn't do that, I argue. Not to me. I know it.
Yes, well.
Tom doesn't finish his thought. We ride in silence, the noise of the streets our only chatter.